The book of Revelation is the complement of the book of Daniel. I read in Testimonies to Ministers, page 113, these words. When we as a people understand what this book means to us, there will be seen among us a great revival. We do not understand fully the lessons that it teaches. Notwithstanding the injunction given us to search and study it. When the books of Daniel and Revelation are better understood, believers will have an entirely different religious experience. Now, the key to understand the book of Revelation is to realize God's purpose for his church. I read here in the same book on page 114. One thing will certainly be understood from the study of Revelation, that the connection between God and his people is close and decided. In the New Testament, the Church of Christ is called the body of Christ. The connection between the head and the body is close and decided. In the book of Ephesians, in chapter 3 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul plainly tells us God's purpose for his church, the body of Christ, to the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. The expression by the church means by means of the church or through the church. It is God's purpose to show through the church his manifold wisdom unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places. We might illustrate it this way. We have a body. Our body is the only medium through which our mind finds expression. We live in our body and through our body, and we express ourselves through our body. So Christ has a body. His people, in whom he lives, in whom he longs to express himself, not only to lighten the whole earth with his glory, but to demonstrate his love unto the whole universe. Testimonies to Ministers, page 18, says this: the church being endowed with the righteousness of Christ is his depository, in which the wealth of his mercy, his love, his grace, is to appear in full and final display. Again, on page 50, we have this. The church is the depository of the wealth of the riches of the grace of Christ. And through the church eventually will be made manifest the final and full display of the love of God to the world that is to be lighted with his glory. This is the key to understand the book of Revelation. God's purpose for his church is to reveal the glory of Christ, the love, mercy, and grace of Christ through it. Now, the theme of the book of Revelation is expressed in the five introductory words to the book. The revelation of Jesus Christ. The last book of the Bible is the revelation of Jesus Christ. A revelation that is yet to be given through the church, the body of Christ. Now, as we saw from the book of Daniel, there were four prophetic sections in Daniel, four prophetic outlines. So there are four prophetic outlines in the book of Revelation. There is the section of the churches, then the section dealing with the seals, then the outline of the trumpets, and the fourth and last prophetic section in Revelation is the conflict of the dragon and the lamb. In the first prophetic outline, Christ is presented walking among the seven golden candlesticks. The seven golden candlesticks represent the seven churches. It is he who watches over his church with tenderest care, trimming the lamps and filling them with the holy oil that they might give forth his light in a darkened world. He holds in his hands the seven stars, which are the ministers of the seven churches. It is he who fills them with light. In the messages to the seven churches, we find Jesus reproving, counseling, and encouraging his church. His message to Laodicea is a message of reproof and love to a church wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. The Lord tenderly pleads, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and eye salve that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. Christ is waiting to enter the hearts of his people in all his fullness, so that he might reveal himself in his people and thus display the revelation of Jesus Christ in this darkened world, that it may be lighted with his glory. In the second prophetic section of Revelation, the one of the seals, we find Christ in Revelation chapter 5 as the Lamb. The Lamb all mangled and bleeding in the midst of the throne. In the book Education, page 263, the spirit of prophecy shows us that the sufferings of Christ have not ceased. He still endures the pain of Calvary and will endure until his work of grace is complete in his saints. The Lamb is breaking the seal, but he cannot break the last seal until he has sealed the 144,000 in their forehead. Early Writings, page 71, says, those who receive the seal of the living God must reflect the image of Jesus fully. And therefore it is clear that the last seal cannot be broken and Christ cannot come. Christ cannot be released as the Lamb in the sanctuary above until he has sealed the 144,000 with the perfect reflection of his image. In the third prophetic section of Revelation, the prophecy of the trumpet, Christ is introduced in Revelation chapter 8 as the high priest before the golden altar, interceding for his people, offering up the prayers of his saints with the incense of his own merit. This he will continue to do until the mystery of God is finished. As it says in Revelation 10 verse 7, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin or when he is about to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared unto his servants the prophets. The mystery of God, according to Paul in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus must continue pleading before the altar, offering up the prayers of his saints until his mystery is finished, until Christ is fully formed in his saints. And then what takes place? Revelation 11 and verse 15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And so when the mystery of God is finished, That is, when the sanctuary is cleansed and God's people are sealed, Jesus receives his kingdom, as in Daniel 7. Then the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. In the last great prophetic outline in Revelation, we have the description of the conflict between the Lamb and the dragon. And the point in this final prophetic section that we must notice is this, that the Lamb's final victory depends upon the development of the 144,000 as brought to view in Revelation, the 14th chapter. This chapter is indeed the heart of the book of Revelation. It is here that we find the great Advent movement, the message of the Advent movement. The prophet says, "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads." This is the company that are with Christ in the final conflict. Revelation 17 speaks of the forces of evil and says, "These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, and they with him are called and chosen and faithful." Now those who are with Christ in the final conflict are these described in the 14th chapter. The 144,000 stand on Mount Zion, on the Mount of Truth and victory with the Lamb. They have the Father's name, or the Father's character, the character of love in their foreheads, meaning that the work of grace has been sealed, consummated, and finished in the human mind. Verse 4, "These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God." Here is the character of the final community of saints delineated. They reflect the image of Jesus fully. Early Writings, page 71. Now let us compare Daniel and Revelation. As we have seen, the message of Daniel is, in one word, is restoration. Restoration of the kingdom and of Israel's king, restoration and cleansing of the sanctuary, and restoration of God's people. But we found in our study of Daniel that the restoration of God's people is the heart of the message of Daniel. Restoration of the moral image of God in the saints. Revelation chapter 14 describes that community of saints who experience that restoration of the moral image of God as brought to view in the book of Daniel. Now, when the restoration spoken of in Daniel takes place, that is, when the restoration of God's moral image in his people takes place, as in Daniel, then the revelation of Jesus Christ through the church will be given. And so the book of Revelation is the complement of Daniel. The message of Daniel is restoration. The message of Revelation is revelation. Revelation of Jesus Christ. When the restoration of God's image takes place, then the revelation of Jesus Christ will be given. Revelation 14 describes that community of saints in whom the restoration has taken place. They have God's seal, God's name, God's character of love seen upon them. The 144,000 are nothing more and nothing less than the revelation of Jesus Christ. 144,000 revelations of his character Looking again at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10, here the Apostle Paul says that it is God's purpose to reveal unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places the manifold wisdom of God through the church. Now the word manifold means many folds, many facets, many phases, many aspects. The Dutch translation says many colors. It is God's purpose to reveal the many phases and the many colors and the many facets of his character through the church. And the work will never be finished until that full and final revelation of the character of Jesus Christ is given. Now, how many facets, how many phases are included here in the word manifold? The answer is given in Revelation chapter 14, 144,000. Thus the 144,000 are the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the community of saints in whom God gives his full and final display of the manifold wisdom of God. Now we must not think that there is a certain limit to the number of people who may be saved in the final conflict. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Certainly, one thing is clear, that there is only one group of saved in the final conflict. And they are the 144,000. 144,000 in number. 144,000 revelations or manifestations of Jesus Christ. In order to understand certain aspects of Revelation, we must see that it is a book of comparison, because it presents the conflict of the dragon and the lamb. Let us briefly compare Revelation 13 and 14 and see how one chapter stands off in contrast to the other. In Revelation 13, there is a dragon. In Revelation 14, there is a lamb. In Revelation 13, the command is given, worship the beast. But in Revelation 14, the angel says, worship God. Worship him that made heaven and earth. In Revelation 13, there is a mark, the mark of the beast. In Revelation 14, in contrast, there is the seal of the living God. In Revelation 13, there is a threefold union, the union of apostate Protestantism, spiritualism, and Romanism. In contrast, Revelation 14 presents the three angel messages that are to unite the people of God. Again, in Revelation 13, it says, and no man can buy or sell, save he that had the mark of the beast. In contrast, Revelation 14 says, and no man can learn the song, but the 144,000. Revelation 13 again says, the beast has a name, the name of the beast. In Revelation 14, there is the name of God. In Revelation 13, there is the number of his name. The number of the beast's name is 666. And in direct contrast, the number of God's name is 144,000. We are to understand one by contrast with the other. If the 144,000 are the revelation of Jesus Christ, then 666 is the revelation of the character of Satan. I'm sure none of us would contend that Satan has 666 people on his side in the final conflict, and the Lord has 144,000 people on his side. In contrast, The 144,000 are that group who have entered into the restoration spoken of in the book of Daniel. They are that community of saints who enter into the experience of the cleansing of the heavenly sanctuary, brought to view in Daniel 8:14. It is they who give the revelation of Jesus Christ. They are that purified body of Jesus that Christ has been so long waiting for, in order that he might display himself and lighten the earth with his glory. I read again this beautiful statement in Testimonies for Ministers, page 50. The church is the depository of the wealth of the riches of the grace of Christ, and through the church eventually will be made manifest the final and full display of the love of God to the world that is to be lightened with his glory. You see, when you have a body that's sick and feeble, you can't express yourself as you would like. Christ has not yet had a body free of all sin and defectiveness. But when the sealing, as brought to view in Revelation 14, is accomplished, God will have such a community of saints who stand without fault before the throne of God, and thus he will be able to give the full and final revelation of Jesus Christ. It is then that Revelation 18:1 is fulfilled. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. That glory is his seal. It is his character of love. For the glory of God is the character, or the love of God. This glory is revealed in his people, and through his people. As it says in Isaiah chapter 60, "Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but my glory shall be seen upon thee." And then Revelation 19 comes to pass. Reading from verse 6, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of the mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints." When the sealing of God's people is accomplished, when the whole earth is lighted with the glory of God, when the revelation of Jesus Christ is given through the church, then all heaven will shout in victory, "The marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready." This wife is called the New Jerusalem, the city of God. Now we must not suppose that this city is just a city of certain materials, any more than the great city of Babylon, the city of evil, is just a city of certain materials. The great city Babylon is a community of people. Indeed, Babylon is a church, the great false church. In the same way, the New Jerusalem city is a community of saints, indeed, the 144,000. The spirit of prophecy says that the church is to be the supplement of Christ's glory. This is what the 144,000 are. They are the reflection of the glory of Christ. They are indeed the supplement of his glory. The glory of Christ is on display through them. Not one individual could give the full and final display of the character of Christ. For inspiration says you may copy the pattern, but you will never equal the pattern. It will require a community of saints to give that revelation. We might compare them to a garden of many different beautiful flowers. God has many flowers in his garden. Or like a temple made of many stones of brilliant colors, all set in their lot and place, each displaying one facet, and together many facets of the glory of Christ. In the 144,000, the character of Jesus is on display. 144,000 manifestations of the character of Christ. For the saints are sealed in little bundles, as it shows in early writings 89. See, one company of saints are in the prison, in the final conflict, waiting patiently for the deliverance that will come to the saints at the voice of God. In this bundle, the patience of Christ is on display. See, another company of saints going forth in the final conflict, as terrible as an army with banners, proclaiming the truth boldly, making war against the beast and his image. In these, the courage of Christ is on display. Others will stand before the courts of the Lamb to answer for their faith with meekness and fear. The meekness of Christ will be on display. Others will be healing the sick. Signs and wonders will follow the believers. Here the mercy and the compassion and the goodness of God will be on display. And thus together, this community of saints, the New Jerusalem community, in whom the image of Christ is perfectly reflected. Yes, this community of saints is the supplement of Christ's glory. 144,000 astonishing manifestations of Jesus Christ, as it says in Zechariah 3, they are men wondered at. When the number is made up and complete, and the revelation is completely given, all heaven will shout in victory, "His wife hath made herself ready." Then, following this announcement, the prophet of Patmos continues. Verse 11 of Revelation 19, "And I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. In righteousness he doth judge and make war." Yes, there's going to be a war. Revelation 16 calls this the great battle of Armageddon. On one side there is Christ, who rides upon a beautiful white horse. On the other side, what do we find? Notice verses 19 and 20. "And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his armies. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast." And so on one side there is Christ, riding upon a beautiful white horse. On the other side, the beast and the false prophet and the kings of the earth gather together to make war against the Lord Jesus Christ, who sits upon the white horse. Now, what is this white horse? Scripture answers. In the book Zechariah, chapter 10, Zechariah is a special book which is like a little appendix to Revelation. "Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain." Zechariah 10:1. Then when the latter rain falls, notice what takes place in verse 3 of Zechariah 10. "For the Lord of hosts hath visited his flock, the house of Judah, and hath made them as his goodly horse in the battle." It is clear that the horse upon which Christ rides in his final battle against his enemies is the purified church of God. The church is to be his instrument of victory over his foes in the final conflict. This was always God's purpose for man. God created man to be his instrument through which he planned to defeat Satan and overcome the forces of darkness. God called ancient Israel to be his instrument, to be his horse. Israel failed. God called the early Christian church. It failed. Finally, God has called the remnant church to be his body, through whom he can express himself in full and final display. He has called the Advent movement to be his bride, the supplement of his glory. And to use this final symbolism in Revelation 19, he has called the Advent movement to be his horse, his beautiful white horse, a purified church upon whom he can ride forth as a mighty conqueror. The book of Daniel may be summarized in one word: restoration. Restoration of that which was lost. Restoration of the image, the moral image of God in his people. The book of Revelation may be summarized briefly in the five introductory words: the revelation of Jesus Christ. When God's image is restored in his people, then may he give that revelation of Jesus Christ through them. The earth will be lighted with his glory. The marriage of the Lamb will be consummated. Christ will have a white horse upon which he can ride to defeat his enemies. And all that having been fulfilled according to his eternal purpose for his people, then he will come in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, that they may be with him where he is. And so it says in Christ's Object Lessons, page 69, when the character of Christ is perfectly reproduced in his people, then he will come to claim them as his own. This indeed is the thrilling message of the book of Revelation.